KRXY, now 10 p.m.
CBS News. President Ford has won the victories he said he needed badly in Michigan and Maryland, but for Jimmy Carter, the primary balloting has been tougher than expected. I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president beat Ronald Reagan handily in both states. The percentages are Ford 65, Reagan 35 in Michigan, Ford 58, Reagan 42 in Maryland. Rogers Morton, the president's campaign director, said the victories make a first ballot nomination at the GOP convention a possibility now. The president himself called the results very encouraging. But Carter's bandwagon has been slowed both by Jerry Brown, the late starting governor of California, and by his primary foe throughout this campaign year, Morris Udall. Neil Strausser in CBS News Election Headquarters has details.
Carter is left surveying a loss in Maryland and what it appears would be a close victory at best if he wins in Michigan. In Michigan, Carter for some time now has been holding to a 44-42% lead over Udall, with 86% of the precincts now reporting that amounts to a margin of less than 11,000 votes out of more than 500,000 cast. Carter is winning in Detroit City and the rural southwest and north, but Udall in the Detroit suburbs and the university cities. In Maryland, Brown's 49-37% victory was almost a statewide sweep. Only in the conservative coastal area did Carter edge Brown, now the newer face in the race. Carter correctly points out he still is winning most of the delegates. Brown was only in the beauty contest part of the race in Maryland and had no delegate slate entered. Alabama Governor George Wallace won both Maryland and Michigan in 1972. This year he is taking about 4% of the vote in Maryland and 7% in Michigan and winning just three delegates. Neil Strausser, CBS News, Election Headquarters.
The so-called Howard Hughes will found in Salt Lake City is a fake, according to one handwriting expert. We'll have that story in more CBS News after this.
I'm Barbara Hale from Anna, and I'd like to introduce some friends of mine, Danny David and the Nashville Brass. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Barbara. Am I excited? Boy, we've just finished a fabulous record for all America. A special bicentennial stereo album recorded exclusively for Amana, called America 200 Years Young.
A $6.95 value for only a dollar, just for watching a demonstration of Amana's revolutionary Touchmatic radar range. The first microwave oven with a memory. Fantastic. You get food from the freezer to the table piping hot just by touching a few numbers. Simple as 1, 2, 3. See the Amana Touchmatic radar range demonstrated at participating Amana retailers and get your Amana Bicentennial album for a dollar.
With Danny Davis and the Nashville Brass. Get it.
Handwriting expert hired by the Summa Corporation, which was owned by the late Howard Hughes, declares that a will found in Salt Lake City, which purports to be that of the billionaire, is a forgery, and an effort is underway to find out who did it. The handwritten document names, among other beneficiaries, Elvin Dumar, a Utah service station owner who says he befriended Hughes in 1968, picking him up along a desert road and giving him a lift to Las Vegas. Air traffic controllers in Canada have voted to go out on strike May 31st. Among the issues in dispute, the use of English and French in ground-to-air communications and wages. 2,200 controllers will walk out, bringing all commercial air traffic in Canada to a halt the end of May. Massachusetts Senator Edward Brooke has a meeting scheduled with Attorney General Edward Leavy Wednesday morning. The senator says he'll appeal personally to Leavy not to enter the Boston school busing controversy on the side of opponents of the practice. The White House said today, said yesterday, President Ford asked the Attorney General last fall to try to find a situation to use as a basis for a petition to the Supreme Court to re-examine busing as a remedy. Leavy met with both those for and against busing during the day Tuesday, but has not decided whether to make the case to the Supreme Court. More after this.
Your dog or cat can't let you know that roundworms really hurt him so.
Even healthy-looking pets can have dangerous roundworms. So get your pet the Hart's once-a-month wormer. Follow simple directions and it'll stop roundworms before they stop your dog or cat. Use every 30 days and it'll help keep roundworms away for good.
To really make those roundworms go, get the Hart's once-a-month wormer.
Most everyone's interested in people who are making news. Supreme Court nominees, political leaders, candidates for public office, cabinet members, and the like. I'm Dallas Townsend, CBS News. Every Sunday on News Profile, I discuss a person who's in the headlines, someone you might like to know more about. Be it a presidential hopeful in the hustings or an unknown thrust into the public eye, I'll try to tell you all about that person and his or her background on News Profile. Listen for the broadcast every Sunday here on the CBS Radio Network.
Doctors at a hospital in Alexandria, Virginia, will not describe the ailment for which space scientist Wernher von Braun is being treated. He was admitted to the hospital early in May, left 5 days later, but re-entered the facility May 14th. His condition is described as fair. Martha Mitchell, according to her attorney, is desperately ill and in dire financial straits. The lawyer told a court hearing the estranged wife of former Attorney General John Mitchell is so far in arrears on her bills that her electricity may be cut off. Mrs. Mitchell is suing for $36,000 in temporary alimony she says is owed her. Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI, the weather outlook. Mostly sunny days with variable high cloudiness through Thursday. Highs in the mid-60s and lows in the lower 40s. Less than 10% chance of rain. Currently in downtown Seattle, 52 degrees, the barometer rising at 29.97. Taking a look at sports briefly, JoJo White netted 29 points to lead the Boston Celtics tonight to a 94-87 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers, a victory which gave Boston the Eastern Conference championship. In Major League Baseball activity in the American League, Boston beat Detroit 5-3, Kansas City over Texas 3-1, Chicago defeated California 5-0. In 16 innings, the Yankees 11, Cleveland 6, Minnesota over Oakland 4-3. The National League, Pittsburgh 4, St. Louis 1, Atlanta beat Houston 3-2 in 10 innings, and San Diego dumped San Francisco 7-6. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next on KIXI. It's now 7 past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, Dean of Studies at OOB, which, as everyone knows, is the University of the Occult, the Outre, and the Bizarre. Nature, they say, abhors a vacuum, and in a similar manner, evil always seeks to overcome good. Yes, good seems to attract evil the same way a flame intrigues a moth, but in this case, so much of the time, it's the moth that consumes the flame.
How would you like to be rich?
Sure.
I mean, not just rich, but fabulously rich.
How rich?
Oh, about $1 billion.
Oh, I couldn't even imagine $1 billion.
It's not just the money. It isn't a joke.
Then what do I have to do?
Well, looking at you, I'd say all you have to do is change your name.
Our mystery drama, Stitch in Time, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Leon Janney. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Well, sir, I see you're one of the many people who bought a new Buick Century.
That's right. Boy, you want to talk about roomy and comfortable. Just take a look in there. Go ahead.
But you have curtains hanging in your car.
Yes, and wallpaper, too.
Well, why's that?
Well, we like the Century so much, we decided to sell a house and live in it.
Huh. Well, doesn't that get just a little crowded?
Oh, I suppose it might after a while, but, well, we aren't home that much.
Oh.
Yeah, we got a little Skyhawk up north.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Mr. Jefferson, will you please read the First Amendment?
The Congress of this United States shall meet in no chamber not equipped with a Fetters air conditioner.
Think cool, America. Fetters announces four bicentennial specials. Four rotary-powered room air conditioners from 10,000 to 21,000 BTUs. No waiting for a factory rebate. Get big savings now at participating dealers. Up to $60 less than comparable capacity Fetters models. Plus, a free $9.95 value bicentennial almanac. Hurry, get your Fetters Bicentennial Special today.
Hi, this is Andre Fisher with Rufus. Today, many high school graduates who want to go to college find they can't meet the high cost of higher education. If college money is a problem for you, then I'd like to talk to you for a moment about a plan that will not only pay your tuition, but also pay you a monthly allowance while you're in school. What's the plan? It's the Naval Reserve Officers Training Corps program. If you can qualify, NROTC will pay the cost of your college tuition plus $100 monthly cash allowance. And when you graduate, you'll join the finest of America's land, sea, and air team as a Navy ensign or a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps. It's never too early to plan for a future with an exciting career. And you can start today by talking to your high school counselor or local Navy recruiter about NROTC. Call the Navy toll-free 800-841-8000.
Some people who are there, but they're not there, if you know what I mean. That is, you never notice them. They're a part of the scenery, the background. We're aware of them, but we don't pay any attention to them. And such a person is Miss Amelia Fitzroy. Miss Fitzroy is 50. She's prim. She's proper. She is unbelievably efficient. As indeed she must be, since she is the secretary to William Big Bill Rawlinson, the sole owner of Rawlinson Industries. One of the things that Rawlinson Industries manufactures is a weapon for our government called the J system that is so secret, I refuse to say another word about it. Well, one morning, Miss Fitzroy said to her boss, Mr. Big Bill Rawlinson...
Mr. Rawlinson,
Yes, Miss Fitzroy?
May I discuss a most... a personal matter?
Miss Fitzroy?
Sir?
Well, I'm so pleased. I mean, here for almost 20 years, you have been my most efficient Miss Fitzroy. I didn't think you had personal matters.
Well, it has to do with a dream.
Yes?
And it concerns you.
Oh, Miss Fitzroy...
Mr. Rawlinson, as your secretary, I know all about your attitudes toward women. I've never approved of your loose conduct.
I am well aware of that. I can see it in your face whenever one of my lady loves calls on me.
Now, please, hear me out. I realize I may be speaking out of turn, but this dream... I've been dreaming about your niece.
But you don't even know my niece.
I realize that.
I hardly know my niece myself. I haven't seen her since she was 10, and she must be 19 by now.
Well, I have a dream. And in this dream, I see this young lady, your niece, and she is in danger.
Now, please, Miss Fitzroy, don't you go flaky on
but
me.
But I must
For
tell
almost
you, sir...
two decades, you have been my... Well, you have been indispensable to me. You have made it possible for me to run this incredibly complex, well, I should say crazy business. You are the only person in the whole world who has never failed me. Now, don't go to pieces on me now.
I am perfectly all right.
Perhaps you need a vacation.
All I'm trying
You're
to say...
You're trying too hard. Now, take a vacation as long as you like. And you can have my yacht. Yes, indeed. Fully equipped and staffed.
Mr. Rawlinson, please, listen to me. When I took this job, I determined never, never to say anything more personal than good morning. I made it a rule. I should never have broken it.
Well, tell me about your dream. Is it recurrent?
Yes. I dream it every night.
What happens?
Well, in my dream, someone is trying to kill your niece.
Ooh.
I don't know.
How?
I don't know.
Well, why?
I don't know.
Then how can you say that...
I just... have this feeling, this dreadful feeling.
Well, can you give me any details?
Well, she's on the plantation where she's living in South America with her mother.
Yes?
And I see the faces of men. Hard faces. Cruel faces.
Yes?
And I know those men intend to kill her.
But what makes you think so?
I can't say. It's a feeling. No, it's more than a feeling. It's a conviction.
Miss Fitzroy.
I know it sounds insane, neurotic.
Miss Fitzroy, Let me account for your dreams.
I'm sorry I even spoke about
it. Now, let us face facts. You are in love with me.
Please, Mr. Rawlinson.
You may even be unaware of it, but consider that you have given me your entire life.
Mr. Rawlinson.
My problems have been your problems. Your entire existence has been subordinated to my needs and conveniences.
Oh, I should never have started to
tell... You know how precious Donna, my darling Donna, my dead brother's child, is to me.
I don't see where this can possibly...
Donna, my greatest joy, but also the source of my greatest sorrow. Her mother, who despises me even more than she hated my poor dead brother, has taken the child away, back home with her to South America.
Mr. Rawlinson, I don't know where you're headed.
I am forbidden to see her. Now, hopefully, when Donna is 21, she will want to come to visit me.
Let us pretend I never said anything
but
at all.
But that would be a lie. Because something is really bothering you. Now, this girl is all I have in the world. And I'm all you have in the world. And so Donna has become important to you, too. And you worry about her. You fear for her safety. You pray for her well-being. And so, feelings of trepidation.
I have things to attend to.
I notice you don't deny what I'm saying. You know the secret of my success. It's my supreme and sublime self-confidence. You saw me parlay a $10,000 investment into a billion-dollar corporation. You know, I always know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I have never been so embarrassed.
And I know you always know what you're talking about. Look, put in a call to South America. Get my dearest sister-in-law on the phone. Yes, Crayita? It's me, Bill.
Indeed.
Listen, are you and Donna okay down there?
Yes.
Now, you're telling the truth. It's just that we read things are a bit unsettled in your part of the world. So, I was thinking, why don't you two come up here for a visit, eh?
I swore an oath. I would never set eyes on you as long as I live.
Now, is it fair to deprive Donna of an uncle, her only living relative?
Have you called to reopen an argument you cannot hope to win?
Well, next year she will be of age. She'll want to come to see her Uncle Bill.
Have you anything more to say to me?
Well, not now.
Goodbye.
Just a minute. Let me say hello to Donna.
One moment. Uncle Bill.
That's a sweet voice.
Did you get the sweater I sent you?
Yes, it was gorgeous.
I'm knitting another one, plus an afghan, all for you.
Well, instead of knitting so much, can't you convince your mother to bring you up here?
Oh, every day I try to tell Mama that you're really very sweet. But I'll see you next year.
Honey, is everything okay down there?
What do you mean by okay?
Well, I mean, nothing. Just put your mother on again, will you, honey?
Oh, sure, Uncle Bill. When?
Listen, Estrellita, how would it be if I sent some men down to your place?
Why?
Armed guards.
For what reason? This is a law-abiding country.
Well, it would make me feel better.
This is just another of your tricks, Bill. No, the law says that I have complete control over Donna until she is 21. And there is no way you can ever get to see her before then.
Estrellita! Well, Miss Fitzroy, I spoke to both of them. And everything's just fine. Now, does that make you feel better?
I don't know how I feel.
She's sending me another sweater. Now, where am I going to put it? The closet's full now.
I only know I have this dream.
Well, I would prefer the gold-colored cotton.
Now, do you hear that, Marie? In this voice tape, concentrate on the O sounds and listen to how many of them there are in gold-colored cotton.
Gold-colored cotton.
Donna still has a very pronounced American accent.
Oh, I've got her voice down. It's no problem. I worried about the looks.
The looks are absolutely sensational. Dr. Esdran did a fantastic job on your face.
I am still worried.
Remember, it isn't essential for you to look exactly like Donna. You only have to resemble her picture.
What else do I need?
The history of the family.
Oh, it's as if the tree grew in my own backyard. Ask me anything you want about any of the ancestors.
I believe you. Hobbies.
She knits, as you know, and so I had to take up that stupid pastime myself.
It is not a stupid pastime. It's a serious part of her entire personality.
All right, Chesko. I look like her, I sound like her, I knit like her, I know everything that's supposed to be going on around and around in her brain, and now what?
No? We wait for precisely the right moment.
No, don't. We have to save her. We have to... The dream again. What's the matter with me? What's the matter? I can't do this. I can't call Mr. Rawlinson at 3 in the morning because of a dream. I can't... I'm going crazy. I can't help it. I must call. I have to call him.
Hello?
Mr. Rawlinson.
Oh. It's you, Miss Fitzroy. Well, what's the problem?
The problem is...
Good Lord, it's 3 in the morning. Are you still at the office?
Oh, no, sir. I'm home. In bed. And I just woke up. I had this terrible nightmare. I had it again. You know, the one we talked about.
Well,
that's all I can tell you.
Well, if that's all you can tell me, Miss Fitzroy, I suppose this has to be the end of our conversation.
Mr. Rawlinson, I realize this sounds crazy.
What we should do is get a tape of it so you can hear just how crazy.
I'm not a particularly psychic person. At least I never thought of myself in that way.
Well, now, it is very interesting, but why don't we talk about it in the office tomorrow?
Sir, what I think you should do is call the police station in Porto San Diego.
Where?
That's the town nearest your sister-in-law's plantation.
Oh, but that's in South America.
I know. Now, ask them to send a squad of police over to the house.
Why? Because my secretary is having a bad dream?
No, sir. Because you are frightened for the safety of your sister-in-law and your niece.
But who'd want to harm them?
Please.
But I'm maybe 10,000 miles away.
Sir, you're William J. Big Bill Rawlinson. When you talk, people listen. Will you call the police now?
All right, I'll handle it.
You're not saying this just to quiet me.
I said I'll handle it.
Do it now. It's the only way we can save them.
There's a little bit of ESP, extrasensory perception for you. Premonitions. Don't hold them cheaply. And consider this one, which Miss Fitzroy is having. Is it true? Is it false? Is she having it at the right time? Or perhaps too late? By the same token, too early. A full load of questions. But you know we do get around to answering all of them, starting with Act 2. Which I shall bring you in just a few moments.
And now, Coffee Rich, the frozen non-dairy creamer, presents Coffee Clocks.
Tonight we join Richwood City's wealthiest widows as they chat over coffee.
My dear, considering our wealth and position, what would you say we are?
The rich, Mildred.
Right, Hortense. And what are we drinking?
Coffee, Mildred.
Right, Hortense. Now, put the two together and what have we got?
Rich coffee.
Oh, no, you ninny. Oh. In now our coffee. What's here in this pitcher?
Coffee Rich? Why, it tastes so light and creamy.
Of course, Hortense, and Coffee Rich is very convenient for us, too. You just keep it in the fridge, ready for use at a moment's notice.
Oh, Mildred, with good help so hard to find these days, it's heartwarming to know there's a non-dairy creamer that's so convenient and delicious.
Yes, dear, and it's in such good taste.
Just like you, Mildred.
Oh, thank you.
Be with us tomorrow for the continuing serialization of the Coffee Rich Coffee Clock.
Oh, yes, and Coffee Rich is marvelous on cereal, don't you know?
Don't I know what?
Oh, Ninny.
live on the street with my mommy and daddy. I have a little sister, too. It's a lot of fun, most of the time. Except when my little sister takes my toys. She's yucky. Our family had a problem once, and mommy and daddy were upset with each other a lot. My mommy called the people at the Mental Health Association, and they helped us. I guess mommy didn't know what to do, and the Mental Health Association gave us information and several places where we could go. I bet they could help anybody. Mommy said she found them in the telephone book. They were so nice. Daddy said they help people with all kinds of problems. I bet they could help you if you needed it. I wonder if they could talk to my little sister about playing with my toys.
Your Mental Health Association. People who care. People who can make a difference.
One of those highly dignified, super efficient executive secretaries who are found in the offices of giants of industry. She's handsome rather than beautiful, all enamel and steel. But you wouldn't know it if you could hear her on the telephone right now at 3 a.m. Why, she sounds just like any terrified, hysterical, middle-aged woman.
Miss Fitzroy, I said I'd handle it.
We have a district manager. That is, our copper company has a man nearby in Dos Cruces. Now,
Miss Fitzroy, I said I would see to it.
You're not just humoring me.
Of course not. Now, why don't you get off the phone so I can start the wheels turning?
Chisco.
Let's go.
Now? Tonight?
Right now.
Oh, let me get my raincoat.
You don't need it. Come on.
This is
where it happens. Now get inside the car. Move out, Corey. When we get there, we'll break in.
Oh, the servants.
What servants?
There's a housekeeper, a chauffeur, a gardener.
All three of them are our people.
Oh.
This mission has been on the drawing board for 5 years.
Yes, si. This is the chief of police, Puerto San Diego. Who? Who? Senor William Rawlinson? No, we have no Senor William Rawlinson here. No, you must have the wrong number. Oh, you are the Senor William Rawlinson. Si, senor. What? Send the squad to the finca of Senor Estrellita Rawlinson, your sister-in-law? But why? You say there's trouble? Oh, there might be trouble. Well, si, senor, but it's raining. No, senor, it is not necessary to telephone the presidente. I will make the necessary arrangement. Si, senor. Oh, si. No self-respecting bandito would go out on a night like this. Crazy Norte Americanos. Hola, Sanchez, Luis, wake up.
Get the girl's body out of here. You know where to get rid of it.
Donna?
Donna, I'm talking to you, Maria.
Huh?
From now on, that's your name, Donna. Now listen, we have to work fast.
Don't worry about me. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what I'm supposed to say. I am a trained operative.
You young kids, you think you know everything.
You had better get out of here. It is my show now.
Our show. I'll be in America to supervise. Now listen, we have provided for absolutely every contingency. Absolutely nothing can go wrong.
I was frightened, and there was such terrible thunder and lightning. Oh, Uncle Bill.
Now, honey, everything's going to be all right.
I was so scared. So I thought I'd spend the night in Mama's bedroom, and we had just fallen asleep when we were awakened by by these men.
Can you describe these men, Senorita Robinson?
They wore masks, and they just burst into the room, and they demanded Mama's jewels, and Mama told them to get out. Oh, Uncle Bill, you know how Mama was.
Yes, honey, yes, I know.
Those terrible men, they just started to shoot, and I fainted. And when I woke up, the police were in the house, and poor Mama was dead.
Yes, yes, you're going to come home with me to America.
Senor Olson, how did you know? How did you know there would be danger?
Do you need Miss Rawlinson, my niece, for anything else?
No, senor. We have her statement.
Can she leave the country?
Oh, si, senor. But tell me, how did you know? How did you know?
And this is my secretary, Miss Fitzroy.
How do you do, Miss Rawlinson?
I'm so happy to meet you, Miss Fitzroy.
Anything you want to know about anything at all, you just ask Miss Fitzroy.
Oh, I shall, don't worry. Do you have a ruler, Miss Fitzroy?
Of course. Here you are.
I want to measure your shoulders, Uncle Bill.
What for?
Well, I'm knitting you a new sweater.
Donna, honey, I have a million sweaters.
I can't help it. The doctor told Mama I was a compulsive knitter. Mama. Poor Mama.
Yes, yes. At least you were spared.
You, don't like my sweaters, Uncle Bill?
Oh, I love them. It's just that you've made me so many. See, I'm wearing one right now. Why don't you knit a sweater for Miss Fitzroy?
Would you wear it, Miss Fitzroy?
Of course she would. Now, tell me, what would you like to do today?
Oh, I haven't even started on the museums and the shops and... Oh, there's so many plays I've just been dying to see.
Miss Fitzroy, why don't you arrange a kind of itinerary for Donna? Plan the next week or so for shopping, sightseeing, make reservations for tickets, restaurants.
Yes, Mr. Rawlinson. I'll do it immediately.
You're going to love it here, Donna.
I know.
Did your mother ever tell you who I am?
Of course. You're my daddy's brother, my Uncle Bill.
Mm-hmm. But what else did she tell you about me?
I'd rather not say. You know how Mama felt about you. She insisted you turn daddy against her.
I didn't. Did she tell you how much money I have?
She said you're a very wealthy man.
Do you know what that means?
It means you have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. And power. I influence a great many things in this country. And one day, I'm going to be out of the picture.
Oh, please, don't talk about dying, Uncle Bill. Not now.
Well, death is a fact of life. Now, everything I own will belong to you. How will you use it, I wonder?
Oh, I'll use it where I think it'll do the most good.
I'm happy to hear that kind of an answer.
Uncle Bill?
Hmm?
This Miss Fitzroy?
Yes.
Who is she?
Well, she's been my secretary since the year one. And she's a very nice lady.
Why doesn't she like me?
What are you saying?
I have this feeling that she doesn't like me.
Now, how can you say that? She loves you.
She does?
Yes, take my word for it.
Well, if you say so.
Knit her a sweater. She deserves it.
May I share this table?
If you like. Well, I was wondering when you'd show up, Chesco.
I want a report.
Oh, I don't have time now. I have to meet my dear uncle in 30 minutes. He's taking me to a baseball game. How will I manage to sit through it?
Do your knitting. How are things?
This Miss Fitzroy may be a problem.
The secretary? How?
I think they're in love with each other.
Oh, nonsense. She's been his secretary for 20 years. We know for a fact they haven't had or are now having an affair.
I am talking about love, Jesco. You can see it in the way they look at each other, talk with each other.
None of our intelligence has ever verified what you claim.
Oh, neither he nor she are really aware of it just yet. But one day, it can flare up.
Let it.
No, because it means they will have to marry. And I will not be the only one to inherit then. Therefore, the holdings will not be ours to control as we wish.
Well, if she becomes a threat...
Well, you can't solve everything with a gun, Chesco.
What is your suggestion?
I shall be the poor, persecuted little niece. As a matter of fact, I have sown the seed already.
That's that. Now, what else has to be cleared up this morning, Miss Fitzroy?
Well, you have to look at some top-secret reports on the J system.
You have them?
A colonel from military intelligence placed them in my hands in the outer office. Now, they're for your eyes and my eyes only. He's waiting for them.
Then we better check him out right now.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Uncle Bill. May I come in?
Sure, honey.
No, Donna, you cannot come into the office now.
Uncle Bill.
Mr. Rawlinson, what are we reading?
Oh, yes. No, honey. Could you excuse us for just a couple of minutes?
Of course. I'll excuse you for as long as you want.
Oh, Donna, it's your imagination.
Uncle Bill, she as good as threw me out of the office.
It's because we had this top secret document.
Oh, sure.
Honestly, and I had forgotten. It's her job to remind me.
She doesn't like the sweater I knitted her.
Oh, she does. She told me she does.
Well, then why doesn't she wear it?
Because it's red, and she never wears red. Her color is blue.
Well, she'd look a lot better in red.
I know, but that's how she sees herself.
I wish you'd fire her.
Now, she's been with me for 20 years.
Why doesn't she like me? What did I ever do to her?
The agenda for the board meeting will consist of... Mr. Rawlinson?
Hmm? Oh, yes, Miss Fitzroy?
Would you rather discuss this another time?
No. The meeting's tomorrow. We have to do it now.
Oh, all right. Now, the financial report, the analysis...
Miss Fitzroy?
Yes, sir.
May I discuss a most personal matter?
Oh?
Why don't you like my niece?
Oh, no, that isn't true. But what makes you say I don't like her?
Well, for one thing, you don't wear the sweater she knitted for you.
Well, the weather has been quite warm, hasn't it?
Yes, but the girl has a feeling that you dislike her. Oh,
Mr. Rawlinson, I can assure
you that... embarrassing for both of us. She's been through a terrible ordeal. You realize that?
Yes, Mr. Rawlinson.
And she's probably not herself.
Yes, sir.
Well, I would consider it a personal favor if you'd smile at her, and you really should wear her sweater. Oh,
I will, Mr. Rawlinson.
I can always depend on you to do the right thing. Now, where were we on the agenda?
Let's see. The financial report, the analysis of the research on...
Yes, Miss Fitzroy?
Mr. Rawlinson, I'm bound by the truth to make a confession.
Confession?
Yes, your niece has this feeling that I dislike her. Well, it isn't that I dislike her exactly.
No, what does that mean?
Well, she probably senses something I feel.
All right, what's that?
I don't know how to say this.
Well, you generally manage to make yourself understood.
Perhaps, but this time I'm not sure.
Miss Fitzroy, what are you trying to tell me?
Well, what I'm trying to tell you is that I have this feeling, and it keeps nagging at me that this girl is not your niece.
What are you saying, Miss Fitzroy? What are you saying?
I believe we all heard her. Well, we know it because we were all witnesses to a scene which proves it. But how does Miss Fitzroy know it? Or, if she has a feeling, what has brought it about? After all, she has no way of knowing. Or does she? Well, you're in this deep. Stay around for the exposé, which happens in Act 3, which I shall bring you in just a few moments.
Here we are talking with one of the thousands and thousands of people who bought a Buick this year. This is a Skylark, right?
That's right. Pretty, huh?
Indeed it is.
You want to sit in it? I'll let you for a buck and a quarter.
Do you charge to let people sit in your Skylark?
Oh, this is a very nice car. Look, I figure when word gets out, people will be lined up for blocks. Hey, you want to honk the horn? Give me a dime.
Listen, sir, Buick dealers let people do this for free.
They do?
Yeah.
Well, I think they're missing a good bet.
Buick.
dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Sears announces the Great American Paint Sale. Now save $4 a gallon on the weather beater, the paint Sears used to help protect the home of Patrick Henry and Boston's Old North Church. Weather beater, Sears' best and toughest exterior latex. Just one coat, when applied according to label directions, helps protect your home against years of weather's worst. The weather beater, regularly $12.99, on sale now only $8.99. A big $4 savings for great American homes like yours.
For more than 2 years now, people have been trying to get you to slow down to 55 miles an hour, down to the speed limit. They've told you that slowing down will save millions of gallons of gasoline. They've told you that slowing down saves thousands of lives, and they've got the figures to prove it. I think those are pretty good reasons. Some of you obviously do too, because some of you have slowed down. But an awful lot of people, for one reason or another, haven't. They seem to think the 55 mile an hour speed limit is something they can take or leave. It isn't. It's a law. With tickets and fines and all the rest, just like any other law. And I should know. I'm a police officer. From where I sit, there's just no way around it. The 55 mile an hour speed limit can do a lot of positive things. And it's my job to make sure it gets a chance to work. Not just because it's a good idea, but because it's the law.
A public service of this station, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the Advertising Council.
Those people who have very little to say, and when they do speak, it's brief and to the point, and each word is a bombshell. Such a person, as you have already witnessed, is our Miss Amelia Fitzroy, and when she speaks, she is a woman who is not to be taken lightly, especially by her employer. But this time, what is she saying?
She is not your niece.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
I know it sounds crazy, but I...
Miss Fitzroy, I always hold everything you say as serious, logical.
I know. Well, maybe I shouldn't have said it.
But you did.
I just... Well, it was out before I knew it.
Well, let's get to the bottom of it. Why? Why do you think Donna is not my niece?
Oh, it's just a feeling. Since I also had a feeling that your sister-in-law's plantation was going to be attacked, and it did happen...
We accounted for that. It was the normal... Well, what I mean... Well, we have feelings of anxiety, and when something happens...
I understand all that, Mr. Rawlinson. But I have this feeling that she's an imposter.
Miss Fitzroy, let us consider the situation rationally.
There's nothing rational about it. It's just this crazy feeling I have.
Well, if she is not Donna Rawlinson, my niece, the child of my dead brother, who is she?
I don't know.
You do know.
Oh, why do you say that? I can assure you
her identity has not yet surfaced in your fantasy. I am merely anticipating it. That's been another secret of my success, as you well know. My ability to anticipate.
Yes, but what fantasy are you talking about?
Part of this fantasy was your feeling that my niece was in danger. By coincidence, her mother was killed by bandits.
But Mr. Rawlinson...
And so she comes here. Now you fantasize something else.
Why do you insist that I fantasize?
You are sublimating.
Sublimating what?
All right. If she's not my niece, who is she?
Now, please, I know how this must sound. She is a foreign agent.
Oh. All right, for the sake of argument, I'll agree. Why?
Why? Among other things, the J system. Now, suppose a foreign power wanted to gain control of it. You are this company, the sole stockholder.
Continue.
Your niece is your heiress. She gets all of Rawlinson Industries, the entire far-flung, diversified...
But she looks exactly like my niece.
She looks like your niece's picture. Now, you haven't seen the girl since she was 10 years old. And so, in order to gain control of Rawlinson Industries and the J system, foreign agents murdered both your sister-in-law and your niece. And this girl is impersonating...
I must say, when you fantasize, it's a beaut.
Well, I feel it's my duty to let you know.
No. Now, let me tell you again what this is all about.
Oh, please.
You are in love with me.
That is not true.
It is subconsciously, perhaps, and I'm sorry about that, but it's one of the hazards of your job. And, well, it's the love of a truly idealistic, unselfish woman. All you want is my happiness.
Mr. Rawlinson, you are the most egotistical...
Of course. How else can you account for my success? Now, you thought I needed my niece to make me happy. So you fantasized her danger. But now that she's here, you see her as a threat to your own position.
That is untrue.
But you have no cause to be jealous.
I'm not being jealous. And you're the one who's fantasizing.
Very well. Now let's put the thing to rest. Pick up the telephone, please, and get me the chief of police in Puerto San Diego. Now, you're sure the young lady is actually Miss Donna Rawlinson?
Well, who else could she be, senor?
Would you swear she is Donna Rawlinson?
Well, senor, I was not acquainted with the senorita personally.
Well, the servants. I want you to interview the servants and make sure.
Well, senor, the servants are gone.
What do you mean, gone?
The finca. The plantation has closed and they are gone.
I see. Well, thank you, Chief. All right, now, Miss Fitzroy, the thing is ridiculous.
The receptionist said I was to go in. I hope it's all right with you, Miss Fitzroy.
Well, of course it's all right.
Oh, will you excuse me? I have these reports to work on.
I told you she didn't like me. The minute I walk in, she walks out. She can't stand the sight of me.
Dear, she's very busy.
Oh, she didn't even say hello to me.
Yes, she did. She nodded.
And she never wears the sweater I knitted for her. I worked so hard on it.
Honey, it's a hot day.
Oh, Uncle Bill, I wish you'd get rid of her.
Now, why?
Well, she frightens me.
Honey, don't worry about it. There are times when she frightens me, too.
Problems.
What do you mean, Jesco?
Cory tells me the police down in Puerto San Diego are asking questions. They're trying to track down the servants.
Why?
To make sure you're the real Donna Rawlinson.
Uh-huh. That's some of Miss Fitzroy's work, I'm sure.
Well, I can take care of Miss Fitzroy.
Oh, that's all we'd need. I have a better idea.
Hmm?
Let the police find our man who was working as Estrelita Rawlinson's chauffeur.
Good, good. And they can send him up here to identify you.
No, we can do better. He can tell the police about my boyfriend.
Boyfriend? Donna didn't have a boyfriend.
Of course she did. All the servants knew about it. His name was Jesco.
Oh, I see.
I'm so happy to meet you, Mr. Jesco. You certainly picked yourself a handsome young man, Donna.
Oh, I'm so glad you like him, Uncle Bill. I'm so anxious for you two to get along.
How long have you known each other?
Since Donna was 16.
Well, what are your plans, Jesco?
I must go back to my job in Puerto San Diego.
What do you do?
I am an engineer.
Hmm. How'd you like to work for me?
Oh, Uncle Bill!
What? But I need a visa and permission
These things are no problem. Arrange it, please, Miss Fitzroy.
Yes, sir.
And meanwhile, Chesco, till you get settled, you'll stay at the house with us.
Oh, Uncle Bill, how can I ever thank you?
Just by being happy.
Oh, you're an old darling. Take us to lunch.
You two run along. I'll see you tonight.
Bye, Uncle Bill.
Goodbye, sir, and thank you.
Well, Miss Fitzroy, convinced?
Of what?
Of the fact that she's really and truly my niece.
Why? What has occurred to convince me?
Her boyfriend.
How do we know he's her boyfriend?
Well, the chief of police back home says so.
No. He says one of the servants says so.
Well?
How do we know the servants were not in on the plot?
Oh, I give up.
You investigate the acquisition of a company more thoroughly
Miss
than you...
Miss Fitzroy. Now, I appreciate your deep interest. But I must tell you that I would like an end to this discussion for all time.
Why are you so afraid of Miss Fitzroy?
I don't know, Chesco. She scares me. You were right. You have to get rid of her.
But I thought you said
she
that...
She is the one factor that couldn't be foreseen. She'll keep sniping away until she hits something vital.
Mm.
Get rid of her.
How?
Well, it has to be an accident. Oh! She takes the subway home every night, and it's during the rush hour.
Right. Excuse me, lady.
Huh. You look familiar.
I got to take a train to this address, but I can't make it out.
And your voice.
Could you read it for me, please?
Oh, well, let me look.
What does it say?
I think it says...
No!
What happened to you, Miss Fitzroy? Are you feeling better?
It was a miracle.
Huh?
Do you know, I fell between the tracks. In that depression they have, the train just passed over me.
You worked yourself into a state of exhaustion. You had a dizzy spell and fell under the tracks.
But I didn't fall. I was pushed.
Now, do you see what I mean?
By that young Chesco.
Now, Miss Fitzroy... You are taking a vacation on my yacht if I have to Shanghai you on board myself.
But Colonel Dawson...
Miss Fitzroy, we've checked out Miss Donna Rawlinson very carefully.
And you're satisfied she's who she says she is?
We have no evidence to indicate anything else.
Her boyfriend, this Chesco, what about him?
He's a clean-cut young man, good record back home.
Then why did he try to kill me?
Off the record. Why are you so antagonistic toward Mr. Rawlinson's niece?
I see that story has been carefully circulated.
I understand she goes out of her way to be nice to you. She even knits you sweaters.
But I tell you, what did you say?
Well, what I'm trying to say is it sounds as if you're jealous of a new female in Rawlinson's life.
No, about a sweater. She knitted me a sweater. Colonel, I'm going to have your evidence.
You know, Mr. Rawlinson, Donna's mother didn't like me.
Oh, she liked you? She just wanted you to wait 5 years. Honestly, Uncle Bill, the arguments we used to have.
Well, I want you two to be happy now.
Good evening.
Miss Fitzroy, I didn't hear you come in. Something new at the office?
No. There's something new here. Oh, Mr. Chesco. I'm sorry your attempt to murder me failed.
Now, see here, Miss Fitzroy. This young man is a guest in my house.
Miss Fitzroy, what are you saying?
I am saying that you and this young lady are imposters. The real Donna Rawlinson is dead. And you, Miss, are posing...
I must ask you to leave, Miss Fitzroy.
You'd better ask me to prove it. And I can. Now, both of us are wearing sweaters knitted by your niece. Yours was sent to you about 6 months ago. Mine was just last week. They were not knitted by the same person.
And what are you driving at?
No two human beings knit exactly the same kind of stitches, the same size, the same intervals, because the tension in the fingers differs from one...
She's crazy.
Oh, sure. Of course I'm crazy. I was crazy to work my life away from Mr. Rawlinson. But that doesn't mean I'm wrong about this.
Amelia.
Oh. That's the first time you ever called me Amelia. Just look, examine the stitches. Your sweater and mine. You see the difference? That's the one thing they couldn't foresee. Just let an expert examine those stitches.
Everybody, stand still.
What?
Let's go. You idiot. Did you have to panic? Did you have to pull that gun?
We'll have to arrange for something. So far, nobody knows except us in this room. You still inherit the estate.
Everybody knows, Chesco.
Oh, Colonel Dawson.
Everybody who has anything to do with the J system has a constant tale. Well, Chesco, and you, young lady, we have enough people here to handle everything. Let's go.
Let's go, Chesco.
And you, miss.
Please.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Especially for your niece.
Yes. Poor Donna. Well, I'm grateful to you. Tell me, how did you know about the difference in stitches?
Oh, I didn't. I made it up.
Amelia.
Well, I learned it from you. When something sounds reasonable, write it for all it's worth, because it may be true.
Amelia, both of us have been sublimating.
I know.
About that trip on the yacht.
Hmm?
How about if I came along?
I've waited 20 years. Although I didn't know I was waiting.
And I didn't know I was keeping you waiting.
Well, what are we waiting for now?
Nothing.
Sublimation. Sometimes the greatest deeds are performed by people who are only performing them because they would much rather be performing something else. That's because people are uniquely crazy, which is all to the good, because if that weren't so, whatever would we do for stories? If you want to know, just wait a few moments, and I shall return.
Here's Mother Teresa of Calcutta, whose sisters work with the sick, the dying, and the destitute of the world.
In India, we are taking care of nearly 46,000 lepers. We are now in 54 cities in India. We go to the people. All our work is going to the people.
Mother Teresa's sisters take care of the crippled and the unwanted. They have feeding centers and more, much of it due to the generosity of the American people.
I'm happy to have this opportunity to personally thank the people of the United States because we have been able to feed so many, to take care of so many. For us, Catholic Relief Service, the people of the United States have been the divine providence.
Catholic Relief Services continues to assist Mother Teresa and her workers. Support CRS along with the U.S. Catholic Conference Office of Migration and Refugees, as well as other distinguished works of the American bishops through the American Catholic Overseas Aid Appeal.
Mr. Chesko and the false Donna were consigned to whatever limbo captured spies are sent to, and Amelia and Bill lived happily ever after. Most experts, knitting experts, agree that knitting is as distinctive as handwriting. So we're on sound ground there. And you can always be sure of resting on sound ground if you tune us in 7 times each week. Our cast included Leon Janney, Bryna Rayburn, Rosemary Rice, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
You are making a mistake. You are confusing me, perhaps, with someone else.
No. There's no mistake.
But I have never been a judge. Indeed, I would never be a judge.
Think back. 11 years. A night filled with music, with laughter, in a great hall with brilliant lights.
I really...
Parmenter. Eugene Parmenter. Do you remember me? Think.
Oh, please, sir, if you will excuse me...
You judge me.
I must be on my way.
Say my name. Eugene Parmenter, say it.
Eugene Parmenter.
Now, do you remember? Do you remember judging me?
I don't.
And do you remember condemning me?
I never condemned anybody, never.
And now it is my turn.
Oh, senor, please.
My turn.
Please. Don't kill me. Not with a knife. No. Help me.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. Mostly sunny days with variable high cloudiness through Thursday. Highs in the mid-60s and lows in the lower 40s. Less than 10% chance of rain. Downtown Seattle, it's 52 degrees. Barometer rising at 29.97.
Bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
And the time at KIXI, now 11 p.m.
CBS News. One of the best nights I've had, says President Ford as he reviews results of his twin wins in Michigan and Maryland. A nice night, too, for Jerry Brown. And while there are negatives, not such a bad night either for Jimmy Carter. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mr. Ford scored landslide victories both in his home state, where he put forth a major campaigning effort, and in Maryland, where he campaigned not at all. Beaming at the White House, to which he returned after attending a dinner in his honor from visiting President Giscard d'Estaing at the French Embassy, Mr. Ford said he's now back on the road to victory at the Republican National Convention. Ronald Reagan, saying he had no expectation of winning in Michigan, said, "We've done a little better than we thought we were going to do." In Maryland, California Governor Edmund Jerry Brown upset Democratic frontrunner Jimmy Carter 49% to 37% and forecast, "This campaign is just beginning." But Carter notes he's picking up more delegates. Brown competed only in the so-called beauty contest with no delegates late entered. A surprisingly strong showing by Morris Udall in Michigan is giving Carter reason for concern, although he leads there 44% to 42% with 90% of the precincts counted. More on that contest from CBS News reporter Sharon Lovejoy in Detroit.
Even the latest survey, which was released just before the polls closed, showed Morris Udall trailing Jimmy Carter by a wide margin. But throughout the evening, the race was literally a dead heat, with CBS News considering it simply too close to call. No matter what the outcome for Udall here, he says he's going to stay on the campaign trail until the Democratic convention in New York City. President Ford won a long, hard battle in Michigan. For months before the primary, it was assumed that the president would easily take his home state. But Ronald Reagan presented a serious challenge to President Ford in the final weeks before the primary, asking for conservatives in both parties here to vote for him. Reagan did manage to get a share of the Democrats who 4 years ago voted for George Wallace, but it wasn't enough to overcome a state party organization completely committed to the president. Sharon Lovejoy, CBS News, Detroit.
More news following this message.
That's enough merry-go-round. Tommy, let's go.
Oh, this headache.
Here, Bob, I've got something strong. Adult Strength Anacin.
Aren't they all for adults?
Yes, but while ordinary aspirin, buffered aspirin, and Anacin start with the same amount of pain reliever, Anacin adds 23% more. Then Anacin adds an extra ingredient not found in the others.
Headache gone?
Just like that. And Anacin didn't upset my stomach.
Adult Strength Anacin. Use only as directed. You may feel it's an embarrassing subject, but since one out of every three people suffers hemorrhoid symptoms at some time, you should know about Preparation H. Preparation H gives prompt, temporary relief from occasional pain and itch in many cases. But Preparation H does more. Actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. With so many having the problem, it's comforting to know that Preparation H helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues. Ointment or suppositories. Use only as directed.
A Libyan attempt to mediate the Lebanese civil war ended in failure and confusion, and now it's back to square one, Syria, as we hear from CBS News reporter Doug Tunnell.
Yasser Arafat is in Damascus for more talks with Syrian leaders on the Lebanese crisis. Syria's deepening involvement in Lebanon's civil war has resulted in a widening gap between the Damascus government and its former allies in the Palestinian guerrilla movement. The Palestinians fear that their freedom of movement from bases inside Lebanon will be restricted under a Syrian-imposed peace. The guerrillas and their leftist allies here have demanded that Syrian troops be withdrawn from Lebanon immediately. But there are still no indications that the Syrians are willing to concede to that demand. In fact, Western diplomatic sources in Beirut said that more Syrian-led commandos can be expected to cross the border into Lebanon soon. Doug Tinnell, CBS News, Beirut.
Updating the Democratic primary in Michigan, CBS News Election Headquarters now reports 92% of the precincts reporting, and Carter leads 44 to 43% over Udall, with just about a 3,000-vote margin there. More after this.
We're the fresh kinds from Wonder Bread. Give us a squeeze and feel the freshness for yourself. We're wrapped warm from the oven in Stay Fresh wrappers. You can feel it when you squeeze us on a shelf.
Yes, sir, because I'm a fresh guy from Wonder Bread.
Hey, what about me?
In my Stay Fresh wrapper, I'm a star.
What a lot of crust. Every loaf of Wonder's wrapped warm from the oven. We're the fresh guys from Wonder Bread.
Fresh Wonder Bread and English muffins.
Hi there, I'm Mike Roy, and tomorrow I got a real treat for you.
Well, that'd be the cook thing, right here on the CBS Radio Net. By the way, I'm Denny Bracken, in case you didn't know, and I've got a secret. I know what tomorrow's recipe is, but you don't out
there. Don't listen to folks. Gonna talk about lobsters and abalone farming out here on the West Coast.
You are.
Some of you farmers who can grow 3-pound lobsters in 3 years.
Abalone.
No, it is not.
A little play on words there.
Abalone.
Abalone.
I ignore it.
Oh, well, join us anyway for Mike's cook thing tomorrow. Here on CBS.
A strike by diggers of bloodworms in Maine has spread to sandworm diggers. Bloodworm diggers want a 2 cents a worm price boost to 7 cents each, while sandworm diggers want a 1 cent increase to 4 cents for each worm they dig. Worm digging is a multi-million dollar industry in Maine involving 1,250 licensed diggers. The work is seasonal, but full-time diggers make between $6,000 and $8,000 a year. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
And the time at KIXI, 6 minutes past 11.